over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Pardon the pun after nights like these, but it really has been a rocky season series against the Colorado Avalanche. The Hawks did pick up one win out of the four matchups. The other three, they were shut out, and most recently a 5-0 loss to the Colorado Avalanche on the road tonight. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11:30 tonight here on 720 WGN. But first, we're going to head on back out to the Ball Arena and bring in our pal Troy Murray. He was on the call with John Weideman tonight after the Hawks fall to Colorado 5-0. Similar, well, identical scores, Troy, in these last two games against Colorado, but a different effort tonight. I feel like the Hawks' 60-minute effort was there. They had some really good chances. Obviously, Colorado capitalized on their chances, but that's what's going to happen when you got two teams that are on pretty much different ends of the spectrum right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what we saw here, and that's what we saw in the season series. The Hawks are in a rebuild, no doubt about that, and the Avs, I mean, they're... I don't know what they're going to do at the trade deadline, but if they don't do anything, they're still a really, really good team and have an opportunity to win it all. So that's kind of what you saw here in Blackhawks. I agree with you, Joe. They played well. They played hard. They gave it everything that they had. Mrazek was good. I wouldn't call any of the goals that were scored against them bad goals, but you've got some snipers on the other side of the equation that know how to put the puck in the back of the net, and when they had opportunities tonight, they made the difference in the game.
I know a lot of people are trying to speculate what the playoffs are going to look like for the NHL this year, but I mean, obviously Colorado is a very good team. It's just, it's crazy their records on the road and at home. I mean, you almost don't want to fall into it too much where you go to a series and maybe you just kind of assume that you're going to keep playing that style of hockey at home. I mean, right? The playoffs are such a different animal. You want that consistent, complete play from everyone at all times.
Yeah, and I think that in a large part, and I look at Colorado's roster, the Avs roster, and you know when they won the Cup a few years ago, they had Kadri as their second line center. They brought in Ryan Johansson to be that guy this year, and it really hasn't panned out that way. So now they've got Ross Colton, who's probably, in my mind, better suited to be a third line center. So they've got one top heavy line. They're going to get Val Nichushkin back, who was having a heck of a season, and he's a big part of this team. You put him into that top six equation, now you've got a little bit more. But if they can add somebody there and find a way to make some adjustments on their second line, I think this is a team that really has an opportunity to go a long way. Their defense is great. You've got the best defenseman in the game, Cale Makar, and he showed it tonight. He was spectacular. Goaltending, I don't know where that's going to be. Anonen is playing great for them right now, but he's only one game. It's a small sample size, 23 years of age, but he's one game over 500 in his season this year. So I think when you look at the Avs, they're a team that showed why they're in a position that they are. But when they're on home ice, when they get the matchups that they want with that top line and get them in different situations where you don't have that chance on the road, I think it looks like it has made a big difference for this team as far as their record.
Blackhawks are now done with the Colorado Avalanche for the 23-24 regular season. I guess the other good news is here, Troy, it's a quick turnaround. You get right on the plane, you get ready for that next game, and you take on a Coyotes team. Hawks can't take anyone for granted, but that could be a game where if the Hawks bring it for a full 60 minutes, they could have a fighting shot at it.
Well, you would think that Coyotes are not the Avs, so you have a better opportunity. But at the same time, I think other teams look at it and they say, hey, listen, here's a team that's struggling. We certainly don't want to be the team that lets them win on the road after 22 consecutive losses. So I think Coyotes are going to be fired up, and the Blackhawks can't worry about this game, as you said. Forget about it. We'll get on the plane. We'll get into Arizona. I'm pretty sure that they won't have a morning skate tomorrow, and just get ready for the game tomorrow night and work as hard as they did tonight, and hopefully you get some better results.
And you sure you can't squeeze in 18 holes tomorrow?
Maybe nine. rest day tomorrow.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
All right, pal. Good stuff. Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Joe. How's the weather? Is it okay back there?
Yeah, you know, it is okay. We had a little bit of a scare, a severe thunderstorm around, but nothing too bad so far.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, you be safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
I will. Safe travels, pal.
Thanks, Joe.
All righty. That's Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight as the Hawks fall to the Colorado Avalanche. 5-0 from Ball Arena. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call in, if you'd like to text in. Again, we're taking this postgame show up to 11:30. Without proofreading this, let's just get right to the first text I see here from the 646 area code. Oh, it's our buddy Peter Puck in Peoria. It's enough already with the overused rebuild. That's another way of saying losers, and we aren't being proactive in making substantial changes now. The Hawks fans and others deserve better. Well, you know, because I was anticipating reactions like this from tonight, because let's face it, this is another rough loss, and it's another shutout, and it's another road loss, and all the stats, whether they're arbitrary or not in terms of losing skids, are definitely there. They're definitely present. This was a different game, though, than the last time the Hawks faced Colorado. The last game, they had a great 20 minutes, and they just kind of fell off for the final 40. Tonight, they were pretty much there the entire 60 minutes. I'm not using the phrase they were in it the entire 60 minutes, but they were there. They were present. They were making things happen. Colorado's a team that's going to pound some mistakes, and they're a team that's just going to generate their own chances. They did a lot of that tonight. Hawks finished with 36 shots on goal. I don't have the exact numbers in terms of quality chances, but there were more than a few. I mean, we saw Alex Vlasic in the first period. Connor Bedard catching that pass from Kevin Korchinski in the second period. Joey Anderson turning nothing into something. And no, these aren't saving graces for the game. But saying that the rebuild is an overused phrase is kind of a cop-out, because it is what it is. That's what this is right now. It is a rebuild. That's why the Hawks are at the bottom of the standings. The coaching staff, the players, aren't playing to be at the bottom of the standings, but the way the organization is moving things, that's what tends to happen. Now, I don't even think the front office wanted it to be this rough at this point. I mean, they made a lot of moves this offseason, but injuries were a factor. Guys getting kicked off the team were a factor. That resulted in relying on a lot more younger players. Now, that's also kind of it's a thing that can work into your favor without forcing it to happen. I mean, the way Alex Vlasic's been playing this year, he deserves to get all the playing time. It's kind of a tricky situation with Kevin Korchinski. If he'd be able to be in the AHL, he might be, but I don't think it's also the worst thing in the world for him just to be getting consistent NHL minutes right now. I don't think that's going to stunt his growth. I don't think that's going to wear on his confidence. But then you look down the line, you look at the rest of the depth. I mean, think how much more guys like Boris Kachuk, Reese Johnson, and Mackenzie Entwistle were fighting for playing time at the beginning of the year. Even Taylor Radish a little bit. Because they had Taylor Hall, Corey Perry, Andreas Athanasiou. And it was easier to put those guys in the lineup and at the top of the lineup, but then injuries happen. Corey Perry gets kicked off the team. And then all of a sudden, Kyle Davidson scrambling around to try to find some bodies just to help make this roster a little bit more solidified. That's why Zach Sanford, Rem Pitlick, Anthony Beauvillier, Jacob Megna, came into the lineup, came into the Blackhawks world, and now you're relying on those guys. So it's not what everyone chalked it up to be heading into this year. Even though it was year two of a rebuild, there were moves made to be a lot more consistent and competitive at this point. I'm not saying they were ready for a long run in the playoffs, but there wasn't supposed to be this much reliance on the young players. Before we get to more thoughts on this, let's go to our guy Devin in Palos Hills, wants to bring up something about Seth Jones. Go ahead, Devin, you're on WGN Radio.
Hey, Joe. The other day, there was an article written about Seth Jones potentially being the center of a moral issue on this Blackhawks team. I'm not sure how accurate this is, but it mentions that he's been leaving practice very emotionally recently, which, I don't know how accurate that is. But I'm sure you see this when you go to practice in morning skates. It says that he's also like the first player off the ice consistently. Again, I don't know how accurate that is. Maybe you would know more than I do.
Devin, really quick, do you know where this article is from?
It's from Chicago Sports News.
Okay.
Written by Isaac Nielsen. It was written yesterday, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, Devin, I appreciate the point. I am going to go into some of this because I think it's important to bring it up. I did not know this article. I did not know of any of that information that was relayed in the article. I've never heard of that publisher, but
I haven't either. That's why I wanted to ask.
Yeah, no, okay. Well, honestly, thank you for the call, Devin. And if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200, because I was talking with somebody else on the beat about this yesterday, because clearly I was getting some harsh Seth Jones criticism after the Columbus game, right? Yeah, the Columbus game. There was the turnover he had in the first period. It turned into a quick 1-0 deficit, and then things just really had a hard time of improving after that. What we talked about a little bit was something of that point. Like, if it were to be criticized about Seth Jones leaving the ice early, or first off after practice, let's point out Seth Jones does lead in time on ice. And I know what people might be thinking right now. You're just finding excuses. I remember one caller called in and said, you love Seth Jones. And it's just a different way to look at it all. Because I think if you're going to bring up harsh criticism on a guy that's here because he was signed by the previous regime and still does a lot of good things, I think you have to look at all the factors. Because you can't just look at one thing, point the finger, and say he's bad. I understand sports conversations and arguments can vary from little knowledge to all the knowledge in the world, but I think it's important to point out all the different factors of Seth Jones' entire game. If you want to make the argument that he's first off during practice, I mean, he leads the team in time on ice. I'm going to pull up the numbers right now. So I think you can make the argument, well, maybe he's saving it all for the game. The person I was talking with brought up the fact that when he was on the Columbus Blue Jackets on that playoff run, he was like being worn down to the core. Seth Jones leads the team in average time on ice. Obviously, total's probably not a factor because he missed the time with the injury. He's only behind Alex Vlasic, and it's by 3 minutes in 9 less games. So, again, I'm not saying, oh, well, Seth Jones is leaving the ice first during practice because he plays the most, but if you bring up that argument, that could be a factor. In terms of his demeanor, I find that interesting because, again, I don't want to totally dismantle something that is being said, but I think we all know that Seth Jones isn't a rah-rah guy. He's more of a lead-by-example type guy. He's a guy that checks in, does his work, and wants to be a leader in that sense. He also has brought up in the past that he wants to talk in certain moments because he doesn't want to talk just to talk, because then your words get a little bit less significant at that point. Do I think Seth Jones is having an absolute blast right now? Probably not. I mean, I think John said at the end of the broadcast that he's the one that, you know, the game ended and he flipped the puck down the ice. I mean, this is a hard time for this entire team right now. Seth Jones was brought in a couple years ago, signed to an extension under the impression that this team was still going for it, kind of like what the Pittsburgh Penguins are going through right now. You know, Taves, Kane, they were still here. Marc-Andre Fleury was brought in. Tyler Johnson's brought in. Jake McCabe. All of a sudden, It was almost like a retooling for this Hawks team. Dylan Strome, Alex DeBrincat, they were all still here. Now, whether or not that was the right decision, well, guess what? That guy's not in charge anymore. So here comes Kyle Davidson, the new GM. He has different plans for this organization because he believes that the current roster isn't capable of going all the way to a Stanley Cup championship. And we've seen this with many teams, not just in hockey. The decision was to turn everything around. So I can understand how Seth Jones might not be having a great fun time right now. But now, does that leak into his attitude and affect the rest of the team? I can't tell you that. I don't know that answer. But I don't think just somebody saying, oh, he's the first one off the ice during practice leads to that argument right away. From the 708 area code, in two more losses, the Blackhawks will be eliminated from the playoffs, earliest ever. I feel sorry for Luke. He deserves better, or he might leave. This is an AHL team. I don't think Luke Richardson's going to leave. I think he totally understands what he has right now. I think he totally understands what he was getting into when he first got the job. And I've said before, when Kyle Davidson and the Blackhawks were looking to hire the position of Blackhawks head coach 2 years ago, they weren't looking for the head coach to lead this team to the Stanley Cup final this year. They're looking for a guy that can help grow a culture, build a team, and help instill just a good hockey vibe, a good winning culture from the ground floor. Now, that's very tough to do when you're relying on so many young guys and you're relying on growth and improvement all while they're getting their NHL experience. It's kind of like building an airplane in flight. It's tough to evaluate that right now. But hopefully, the majority of these guys grow and develop the right way, because it's not going to be everyone. You can't hit on everything. But so far, what we've seen from Kyle Davidson's assessment on current NHL players, and I do like a lot of the draft picks he's made, so far, I feel like he deserves the benefit of the doubt in that regard. And if you want to bring up the current standings and the current talent on this roster right now, again, he was kind of forced to fill up the rest of this roster with all these injuries that have happened. But pulling out Sam Lafferty from Alex Nylander, who actually picked up a hat trick today, we'll talk about that later, and flipping him with Jake McCabe to Toronto, pulling something from that, pulling Peter Mrazek from the Maple Leafs, and, oh yeah, getting a first-round draft pick in doing so. Flipping Brandon Hagel for two first-round draft picks. That may have been Tampa's doing more than Kyle Davidson, but he's still got to get it done. Still got to give him credit for in that situation. Now, in a couple years, 2-3 years, some of these draft picks start to come up. If there's concern about their play, then we can dissect it a little bit more. But right now, this is just still a very harsh part of the rebuild. And we're going to be talking about it until 11:30 tonight, 312-981-7200. We are getting some sound from the Blackhawks dressing room. And we'll take your calls, we'll take your texts. Again, 312-981-7200. Blackhawks post-game show after a 5-0 loss to Colorado here on 720 WGN. Eustace Annanen has two career shutouts. They're both against the Hawks this week. He had 36 saves tonight. I think he had 23 last week at the United Center. Either way, he's had the Blackhawks number. Tonight, a different story, though. The Hawks had more chances, definitely more quality chances as well. But they do fall 5-0 tonight out at the Ball Arena. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11:30 tonight. I do want to get in a little bit more on the Seth Jones conversation that Devin from Palos Hills chimed in, found the article that he was referencing, but I do want to talk about that. We also have some sound from the Blackhawks defenseman Seth Jones, so I definitely want to get to that as well. But first, we're going to get to Craig in Evergreen Park that wants to talk about the game and the season. What's going on, Craig? You're on WGN Radio.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to Joe on the radio and tell him listen to the game tonight and just want to talk to him and let him know what I think.
Well, you're talking to him, Craig, so go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys are talking about the weather and everything else. Maybe it's time to win some games, you know?
I hear you. All right, Craig.
Isn't that what we all want?
Yep. It's definitely what we all want, and we're trying our hardest over here. Unfortunately, we don't have too much of an outcome on the game, but thank you. That's Craig from Evergreen Park, 312-981-7200, and had to talk about the weather today. There were severe thunderstorms out there. There was some hail. There was possibility of tornado warnings, so can't leave that stuff out. We're also a news station as well. We had a caller earlier that wanted to talk about a recent article, and again, it was referenced. This was written by Isaac Nielsen of SportsMockery.com. And I just want to point out, and I'm not poking fingers, everyone's got a job to do. Everyone does their own job. I've never gone to this source for any credible information. That's me personally. Maybe other people out there have gone elsewhere. But I want to point out a few things because it's very critical on Seth Jones, and he basically admits that, and admits that it's easy to jump to one person after the season that it's been. But in one of the paragraphs, it reads, "But lately, Jones' demeanor has been a closer match to what he looked like on the ice Saturday night," referencing the Columbus game. "Last weekend, Jones was expressing his displeasure with the Blackhawks' results of late. To wrap up his negative rant, he added an element of apathy that seemed to epitomize his and his teammates' morale. The quote was, 'It's just an unfortunate bounce in OT. It doesn't really surprise me at this point. To be honest, it's just crazy.'" Honestly, I remember him saying that. That was more about the point that the Hawks have been snake bitten at points, and I don't think that's a cop out. Overtime is kind of a crazy shootout, and wild things just tend to happen. Both in that game and the Detroit game, the Hawks had a chance to win, and actually that was the game where I think the puck went off of Nick Foligno's skate, unless I'm mixing up games. Either way, the report, or I should say the article, continues, "Additionally, reports have come from practice that Jones has at times appeared to have emotionally left the building. He's consistently the first player off the ice at morning skate in practice. Jones is certainly not the entirety of the Blackhawks' issues at this point, but it's beginning to look like he's pulling in a different direction than the rest of the team." Again, and Isaac Nielsen even mentions that Seth Jones leads the team in time on ice. I think if you're going to bring up that criticism, you have to point out that too. I wasn't covering the Hawks when Duncan Keith was playing. I couldn't tell you if he left the ice first during practice or first after morning skate. But if he did, I would imagine that was maybe why. So it's just, I think if you're going to draw that criticism, you got to look at all the factors. I'm not saying anyone's right or anyone's wrong, but I think Jones is a leader on this team in a different way than Nick Foligno is. Nick Foligno is the guy that is almost always saying the right thing. He's ready to break down a rough loss. He's more of a rah-rah guy. Seth Jones is a guy that would rather lead by example, that really appreciates the one-on-one relationships he generates with guys like Alex Vlasic and Kevin Korchinski. And both those guys have each talked about how he has helped them elevate their games. So I think there is just kind of a different situation there. Let's hear from Seth Jones. He chatted with the media after tonight's really rough loss for the Blackhawks.
"No, just reflecting.
How would you?
I guess compared to, did you see similarities in the last Avs game in this one?
I did.
What stood out?
There's not a lot of pushback there. A lot of outside shots. Not really an increase. Not a lot of net foot traffic.
Feels like you guys had some looks. Are you disappointed though by the quality of chances, or?
I can't even think about the looks we had right now. I mean, not a lot of odd man rush chances, I don't think. A couple of zone chances, a couple point shots, I think, but nothing earth-shattering.
Is there anything you guys can try to take away for these final 20 games, what you guys can build right here?
Just, I don't know, man. I don't have any answers for you guys. I mean, it's hard, you know. It's tough, and we just need to find a way to play together as a team instead of everyone trying to do it themselves, play individual, and it's end up in the back of our net when that happens. So we got to block shots for each other. We got to back check for each other, board check for each other, be on time when you're supposed to be on time. For those of face-off, do your assignment, know your assignment. It's just the little details of the game that are not there at the moment.
Your dad mentioned that 25 years ago that, you know, this is the first you guys played hockey. Mm-hmm. You know, and asked Joe Sackey about it. How significant for you and Kayla to play against each other? First time.
Just hasn't worked out through our careers so far. Even when he was in Edmonton and I was in Columbus and played together, which we never thought we would do before. We played against each other, which was crazy. But he looked good tonight. I think he got an apple assist on that Parise goal. He's enjoying himself. He's open to, you know, obviously playing the playoffs and going a deep run and see what that's like. So I'm happy for him.
They have your whole family here. It was
pretty cool. Pretty cool. We don't get that very often. My dad, I think the Nuggets are in town, so he was here. And that's only happened a few times in my career where we've been in the same city like that. So it's pretty special.
Well, yeah, with that being said, Seth Jones got to play against his brother for the first time in both of their NHL careers. They've only played on the same ice when they've been on the same team with the Blackhawks. Out of all the years they were on different teams, they never played against each other. Three previous matchups earlier this year, one of them were not in the lineup, and tonight was the first night that they got to play against each other. So kind of a cool full circle moment for them and the entire Jones family. Want to go back to the phone line, but really quick, a couple of texts. Jason in Wisconsin, I think the Hawks need to pull off a trade at the deadline. I feel the Jones frustration. I'm not sure what kind of trade is going to really turn things around right now. And we talked about it last postgame show that the remaining pieces to trade, I don't think you're going to get an entire haul. That's not taking away anything from guys like Colin Blackwell or Tyler Johnson, but it's not like the guys that they had possibly to deal last year. From the 708 area code, it's Devin in Palos Hills again. Further on Jones, did you see Ben Pope's tweet after the first period? It seems he was irate. Tough time now. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like, okay, Seth Jones is frustrated. Well, clearly the fans are frustrated too. So I'd imagine that the players would be even a little bit more frustrated. So, I mean, if you just are saying Seth Jones is frustrated, he shouldn't be frustrated for this team, it's kind of like calling the kettle black, the pot calling the kettle black, no? Let's go to Jim in Oak Park before our next break. Wants to talk about the young defenseman. Go ahead, Jim. You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, great to talk to you. I got to talk to you a couple games back, and I really enjoyed that. So I'm thinking, I don't know when Murphy's going to come back, and I don't know if they should send down both Previer and Phillips, and here's why, because they have got four guys that are playing top 4 minutes down there that are pretty good, and I don't know if Roost really has a future, but he's with the Blackhawks, but he's playing pretty good down there, and they have, of course, Kaiser and Allen and
Del Mastro.
Right, playing real well. So, I mean, five guys playing a lot of minutes, and usually four guys. The third pair, I don't know. I think maybe it's better just to leave them up here and Crevier and Phillips up here and rotate them in and out. And, you know, it's tough to kind of figure out if you should send them down or keep them up. I don't know what you think about that. You know, I liked when Vlasic played with
Crevier, yeah.
That one time they were really something. Having two guys with that wingspan, kind of tough to break in against them. They're sticks but you know you can't always put the guys together that you want to put together. So you know Crevier is playing a little bit more aggressive. So I was told to play more aggressive the last couple of games. Phillips sat out again tonight. So I mean, what is your take? If and when Murphy comes back, do you keep those two guys up here? Kind of rotate them in, or do you think you send them down to the farm team?
Yeah, hey, good call, Jim. Thank you very much. Well informed. I appreciate the thoughts. It's an interesting question, and I think I'm kind of as intrigued as you are. I don't know this for a fact, but I would be willing to bet that having Phillips and Crevier up here more consistently than those other guys has something to do with size. Just because you get a couple bigger guys. I know Allen's a big guy, but he's not a bigger guy than them. Also, I feel like Kaiser, Del Mastro, Allen, I'm trying to think of the other guy he brought up. Phillip Roos. Yeah, Phillip Roos and Ethan Del Mastro might be kind of different circumstances, but Kaiser and Allen, I'm sure, are guys that they're really hoping can work and grow on some things down in Rockford. And I'd imagine they see their development going along better down there in the AHL than up here in the NHL. Also, I don't know this for a fact, but like I said, I'm guessing size has something to do with it. It's at least a factor. But we saw Kaiser at the beginning of this year, but I think that was a couple things. I think that was to kind of reward him for how good of a training camp he had. And they also liked what he saw from him in his 9 games in the NHL towards the end of last year. But it's a good call. Thank you, Jim. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or text. We are way late on breaks, and we've got plenty more to get to. So we'll just get to our next break. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. To Joey Anderson, really liked his self-induced play. Kind of just shaking off the puck against a couple of Avalanche players, passing it to himself off the near boards and putting on a quality chance on Eustace Annan. Unfortunately, not enough. Nothing was enough tonight. The Hawks with a 5-0 loss. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11:30 tonight, so we do have to boogie. Tonight's Player of the Heart is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. One more text, and then we're closing the Seth Jones conversation. But it's a good point. I feel bad for Jones. This is from the 708 area code. Because he didn't want to be put in this position, and he's stuck here because of the contract. Can only hope things get better from here. I agree with you. This was a totally different situation than what he had been told he was getting into when being traded to the Hawks and then signing the extension. I'm also not going to feel bad for a guy that's got a $9.5 million contract year in and year out. But, yes, totally different circumstance. Let's hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson, after this 5-0 loss.
Yeah, you know what? I thought we played a pretty good first period, but we unfortunately made 2 mistakes and turned pucks over, and you can't do it against this team. And, you know, I mean, they made us pay, but, you know, we still tried to hung in and played pretty much a good solid second. But again, then just too much time in the D zone, you know what I mean? And against this team, they're explosive. And they made us pay again. And, you know, obviously just a little salt in the wound in the end on the power play goal for sure. But by then, obviously, it was long gone.
Feels like you guys got some looks. Did you like the quality of them, or were they more perimeter?
A little bit of both. You know, we did have some inside, but we had some on the outside. But, you know, he played well. Young goalie, and played us well twice. I think probably had more harder saves tonight than at home. So, you know what I mean, it was good for him. You know what I mean, and I'm sure, you know what I mean, that's going to boost his confidence playing, getting back-to-back shutouts in his games. But, you know what I mean, for us, we got to find a way to get it across the line. I think there was a couple times we were close. But, you know, I mean, in our power play, we had some good ozone time, but we didn't have enough quality shots. And I think when you're talking about quality shots, that's where we really got to look to improve.
Right here on 720 WGN. 6 games in the NHL tonight. We're only going to get to one of the out-of-towns, and we'll go to Columbus.
Chinnikov sends it behind the net and over to the far wall. Marchenko gets in there. He's got it. Beats Chinnikov with a shot, and he scores! Bartender, give me a Jaeger bomb! Igor Chinnikov makes it a 5-3 game!
Bob McElligott of 97.1 FM, The Fan, WBNS, says the Columbus Blue Jackets got a hat trick from former Blackhawk Alex Nylander, doubled up on the Vegas Golden Knights 6-3, and pick up the victory in Ohio. Also tonight, Florida beat the Rangers 4-2, St. Louis over the Flyers in a shootout 2-1, Bruins with a 4-1 victory over the Maple Leafs, and Seattle just picked up a 4-2 victory over the Calgary Flames, ending Calgary's 5-game winning streak. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, and Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help we had here at the WGN Radio Studios. Our production crew of Brendan Rook and Jack Heinrich, our engineers, were Dan Long and Brett Jackson. Out at the Ball Arena, John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand. Signing off, once again, the Hawks fall to Colorado 5-0. Steve Ruxton has your news next. After that, it's Raleigh James. Have a great rest of your Monday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks Hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.